Today's program is brought to you by the Dairy Farm Families of Wisconsin, the Wisconsin Milk Marketing Board. Did you know that today Wisconsin produces more than 600 varieties, types, and styles of American, international style, and original cheese that win more awards than any other state or country? To learn more, visit eatwisconsincheese.com.
I'm Linda Palaccio, host of A Taste of the Past. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hello, and welcome to A Few Things with Claire and Erica. I hope you guys all dance to that intro music.
Claire does.
We do. Correction. I always dance. It's the way I get psyched. And our guests who are sitting in here also started dancing. So I'm hoping that it does the same
really,
for you.
It really takes on.
You are listening to A Few Things with Claire and Erica. This is our podcast based on a newsletter called 10 Things, where we share all of our favorite discoveries. And you can sign up for the newsletter at ofakind.com, where you will discover all of the wonderful emerging home and fashion designers that we have commissioned to create limited edition pieces for us, which we sell on the site, accompanied by stories of their products and who they are.
Wonderful. And on this podcast today, we are going to talk about a couple of quick and easy and real pretty things you can do to make your life a little better.
Keep it pretty. Yeah, always
keep
pretty.
It pretty. So yeah. First up, some interior design, inspiration hacks, whatever, little projects that you can do. And then we're going to get into makeup with our favorite, one of our very favorite beauty brands out there, Stowaway. But
yes,
first,
ma'am.
But interior first, design.
Yes, we love. We have both been feeling sort of crafty lately about certain home things that
or
we want to
like
do.
Creative.
Creative. Yeah, I wouldn't call it crafty because that would imply
no
some
glue
level
gunning,
of skill.
No glue gunning. No.
Well, okay. The thing that you did that is really impressive is you put up wine crates. You affixed wine crates to your wall as bedside tables,
yes.
Which is genius.
Thank you. So
thank you.
You know what? It is. So here's the thing. I live in a pretty small apartment, and in general, my goal has been to get to eliminate things that require a footprint.
Yes.
To get things off the floor. Mm-hmm. And so we have a couple of like hacks, projects related to that. But one of them, which was inspired by two things. Hillary Taymor, the designer behind Kalina Strada, has this amazing sort of makeshift kitchen cabinet situation that she created in her apartment in Williamsburg out of apple crates. And she just arranged them in a kind of random design. They all are touching each other, but
on the
interlocking.
Wall. They're all affixed
on
to the wall. Yeah.
So that they're all open shelving.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a just sort of geometric shape. And she keeps all of her dishes in there. She keeps spices in there. And just like a really cute way of doing open storage in a kitchen. So that was one source of inspiration. The other was this hotel that I stayed at in Lisbon that had these amazing little bedside tables. It's called Beisha House in Lisbon. And I will post a link to it. It's real cute and not crazy expensive either. And it's really nice to have nightstands that are like not on the floor because
totally.
They're very accessible. You can decide what height you want them, which is a big sort of nightstand issue.
Yep.
And it means that my husband and I have like matching ones that we, you know, each get to have our shit on them without them.
And it's got a surface and a shelf basically
exactly.
because it's a wine crate.
So all you do is buy wine crates on the internet or ask your local wine store if they have them and you drill them into the wall.
I feel like people are going to be way into this.
Like, it's the easiest thing that there is.
Did you have to get a stud finder? Do you have to do stuff like that?
Yeah, I mean,
once a stud finder gets involved, I'm out.
Yeah, I mean, you have, it's like not, you know, it's not a picture frame. It's heavy enough that you have to do that, but that's it. That is like actually it.
That and a level. It looks amazing. It looks so simple. It looks so beautiful. And it is so functional. It reminds me, if you really can't, if like me, a stud finder is too intimidating, one of our designers, Thing Industries, sells something called the Birdhouse that is a very similar idea that it's like basically a bedside table that you affix to your wall that is awesome. I did something kind of similar, and I don't know where I came up with this idea or how, but I took a in my bathroom I have like a huge hair dryer with probably three different types of diffusers that attach to it. Every type of curling
no
wand
one
you can imagine.
Is surprised by
Nobody
this.
Is surprised. And I used to put them in this giant bin on the floor that would just explode with wires and make a mess. I finally affixed a window planter, like a galvanized steel window planter, to the wall, and I just dump it on there, and it sort of, it gets hidden nicer because the wires aren't everywhere. It gets up off the floor. It's a lovely solution to just dump stuff in there in the morning when I'm done with it.
Well, I think both of those relate to this sort of new uses for old things idea.
Yes.
The other that we're seeing everywhere, that, you know, if you follow interior design blogs, you probably are seeing, are ladders being used for linen yes. storage. If you're investing in pretty towels and blankets and stuff, it's a nice way to keep them out on display and to not just have closets and closets full of stuff if you don't have storage.
Or, like,
space
I
for
can
it.
Barely see my couch because I love a throw so much that I
completely
keep buying them, and then you just, there's like 17 blankets on my couch. The other thing that you can use the ladders for is put a blanket on one, put your magazine on another.
Yes.
And just lean it up against the
rack.
Wall. Yeah, it's so pretty.
My favorite one that I have seen that is pretty affordable is from Unison Home, and mm-hmm. they have these two-tone ones that are either sort of natural wood and white or natural wood and black that are $100, which is pretty
great.
Good as these things
and
go.
You can use kind of like any type of just ladder that's yeah. not a V-ladder. World Market has a bunch of like library ladders
yep.
that would serve the exact same purpose that look really nice.
Okay, so things that are more just aesthetically driven mm-hmm. and aren't as much around organization or storage.
Yes. You have these amazing glasses that
friend made these amazing glasses. Basically, she just bought, you know, cheap glass glasses.
Stemless wine glasses, right?
Yeah, or just like they're little like water glasses,
okay.
basically. And there's this DIY that involves just nail polish and water. That is it.
Wow.
And you, I think, use a toothpick to marble it, and you just dip the glasses in and let them dry. Done.
That's brilliant.
And you just do the exterior, obviously,
right.
so that you know,
so
you're
not
sipping on nail polish.
That's really smart. I love that.
Yes. Yes.
We are both really into putting all of our beans and grains and rices into glass jars so that you aren't looking at boxes of crap every time you open your pantry. It just makes things look a lot better.
And I think the other thing we should talk about
yeah.
is wallpaper.
Let's do it.
Wallpaper as a design element. So
yeah.
that you just found this
yeah.
Amazing Lisa Congdon
yeah.
Project.
So Lisa Congdon is an amazing illustrator who does all sorts of projects, including wallpaper with her illustrations on them. And she Instagrammed that somebody had bought her wallpaper and instead of putting it on their wall, had just wallpapered the drawers of their underneath their bathroom sink. And it was the most beautiful little like accent piece of design. And I thought that's so smart, especially because, you know, so many times you buy like an IKEA dresser or something like that
where something doesn't feel that personal or
exactly.
special. Yeah.
And it just might not look that great. Maybe it's got laminate on it or something because it's inexpensive, but you can put wallpaper, like really small pieces of wallpaper on it, and it looks so special all of a sudden and covers up whatever you don't like.
The other thing I've been wanting to do for a long time and will as soon as I have a wall space that an empty wall space big enough for it is to frame paper. Wallpaper or fabric or wrapping paper.
Yes.
So there are a couple really amazing wallpaper lines that we've been following: Flat Vernacular, Juju Papers, and a sort of more classic one, Joseph Frank. And then wrapping paper. We
sneak peek.
Yeah,
I think this might be the first public announcement.
Yeah.
We're about to start selling wrapping paper on ofakind.com, and it is the most beautiful wrapping paper I've ever seen in my life.
And we have just gotten like the sickest stuff at the office
yeah.
that I'm like, why would we use this as wrapping paper? We could hang this on the wall.
Totally.
And right?
It very quickly goes from kind of expensive wrapping paper
to really cheap
very
wall
cheap
art.
Wall art. Exactly.
Yeah.
I can't wait for you guys to see it. It's stunning, and a lot of it is hand painted, and it would be just so beautiful inside of a frame.
Yeah. The last sort of idea, if you're excited about the idea of a pattern or a print on your wall but don't want to get into the wallpaper game because you're scared of putting it on and or taking it off, the designer behind Marais USA, Haley Boyd, hung this this like swatch of fabric,
yes.
this like swath of fabric,
mm-hmm.
Floor to ceiling in a floral print right behind her kitchen table, basically
yes.
to sort of separate that space from her living room because she was living in a big loft space. And it worked really well to create that sort of separation, but also it just feels really special. And you can take it down at any moment, which
totally.
Just feels like a win.
Really important, for sure.
Should we go and come back?
We should go and come back because we could probably talk about this forever. We'll do chapter 2 at some point.
Let's do it. We're off to commercial.
Here's what Heritage Radio Network would sound like without donations. It's not as good as the show you were just listening to, is it? Give us a few bucks. Help keep us running. HeritageRadioNetwork.org. Click the donate tab on the top right corner.
Hello, and welcome back to A Few Things with Claire and Erica. I know I always say we're really excited about our guests,
because we are,
because we wouldn't invite them on, but I have to tell you that this is a kind of amazing story. So today we have on the two founders of Stowaway Cosmetics, which just launched this year and has already taken off in a huge way and taken over my cosmetics bag. But
I'm wearing Stowaway's eyeliner right now. You're wearing their concealer.
I'm wearing their eyeliner, their concealer, their blush, their mascara. You're not to brag, but I am. And because I love it. And what's amazing about these two is when we started Of A Kind, Julie, one of the co-founders, was one of the very first people we reached out to ask for advice about starting a business.
But we went to college with Julie.
Yes.
And so she had already for a dang long time.
By the time we started Of A Kind, she'd already started and sold a business. So and then Chelsea has in the last, you know, I don't even know when we met, probably around the same time. Yeah, exactly. Around
Chelsea
the same
came
time
to
we
our
started
launch
the
party.
Business. Yeah. Has been our go-to beauty expert on everything and also our go-to makeup artist whenever we need to look amazing, including like weddings and photo shoots and everything. And is just anything that's not in my makeup bag, that's not Stowaway was recommended to me by Chelsea. And these two got together and started a cosmetics business, which is just kind of our dream come true.
But I think we need to pause for a moment and say that Chelsea did your makeup for your wedding,
yes,
which
she
I
did.
Think is like the pretty ultimate, much sets the stage,
right?
Yeah,
pretty major. She even did my mom's makeup, and my mom does not let people do her makeup, and my mom loved her makeup. So, boom.
Hi guys.
Hi.
Thanks for having us.
We're so excited
thanks
you're
for
here.
Being here.
You're our first set of co-founders. You're our first time there have been four of us in this room. Big
feels
deal.
Great in here.
Yeah. Very big deal. Feels, this is a great room.
Feels full of ambition and accomplishment. Just ripe with it.
Yeah.
So a question that right before we like came back in, I was like, Chelsea, do we call this a natural beauty line? Because I know it's paraben and phthalate free. And I'm sure I mispronounced that
phthalate,
word.
Phthalate.
Free.
Yeah.
And you didn't answer because we had to get back to being on air. Is Stowaway Cosmetics a natural beauty line?
So we don't refer to it as natural. Okay. We like to go by actual guidelines. So mm-hmm. natural, there's no sort of guidelines. It's like the food industry when they say it's organic or whatever, and it doesn't really mean
totally.
Anything. There has to be, you know, a stamp of approval. Mm-hmm. And, so natural is the same way, right? Like I can put arsenic in the product and say it's all natural, it doesn't necessarily mean it's good for you.
Right.
So we are EU compliant, which is the, you know, the best standard to go by for safety.
That is a good answer.
Can you guys give us a rundown of what Stowaway is all about?
So actually, and it does relate to the idea of safety and usage. So I feel like we should go back and mm-hmm. tell the Genesis story a little
yes,
bit.
Yes,
so,
please.
I'm Julie, and I am a makeup civilian. I'm just really not great at makeup.
It felt like a confessional. I am Julie, and I am a makeup
AA.
Civilian.
Yeah. Makeup is scary and hard and very overwhelming.
Yeah.
And so Chelsea has always been my go-to for makeup, and we were meeting over breakfast, and I was complaining to her, saying, why is it so hard to find makeup that I love in sizes that I can carry with me and actually finish? Like, I have this vat of makeup in a bag, and some of it's just been there for years. Like, why?
And you buy this coral lipstick that you think is going to be you for the next 5 years, and it is not.
Yeah. But you keep it just in case, because you don't know, you might have one night where you're a coral lipstick girl.
Right.
I don't know.
And I've been that woman once in 5 years. I definitely still have makeup from when we were in college together.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
And it's sort of this unsettling thing where I didn't understand why that was the case. And I thought, well, Chelsea knows everything about beauty. This is going to be fine. I'm going to go have breakfast. She's going to give me an answer. I'm going to walk away with the perfect solution, and my life will be better for it.
Mm-hmm.
Chelsea did not have an answer. And that's
I think it was the first time I did not have an answer for you, too. Which it confused you, and I think it worried us both.
Yeah, it was an existential crisis. Like, if the one person that I rely on to handle this thing called makeup didn't have a good answer as to why it is that there is no makeup that you can carry with you, mm-hmm. that you actually finish before it expires... Yeah. Maybe there's something afoot. Mm-hmm. Like, if there is demand and there is no supply, and I feel like I should, like, qualify this, like, we went to the University of Chicago and everyone studied economics and we really care about supply and demand. If there is demand and there's no supply, something is wrong.
And it was one of those things that once you see the problem, you can't unsee it.
Totally.
So that's kind of how we got the bee in our bonnet to move forward. Yeah. Oh,
well, because what I didn't realize as a civilian is that makeup really does have serious expiration dates, and it drives makeup artists totally nuts because they're always saying, throw the stuff out. You should only be using mascara for 3 months. And I'm sorry, if I've spent $40 on it, I am holding on to it to the end of time.
Same.
Yeah.
Same.
So can you talk briefly about makeup expiration dates so we can go throw stuff away?
Yeah.
Yeah, they exist. That's number one. Eye makeup, number one, is probably the biggest problem.
And that's because it, like, touches your eye, which is prone to infection
whatever. What if you've never opened it?
There's some fudge factor.
It depends because you don't really know if you bought it from a store, mm-hmm. maybe someone else opened it.
Right.
The expiration date right now that's on cosmetics and how it's listed mm-hmm. is when it is opened.
Okay.
But that said, it still will expire if you sit it, you know, if you leave it sitting there for 5 years.
Or if it's like in the sun or it's hot or whatever. Yeah. Or in a steamy bathroom.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and that's why we talk a lot about safety as opposed to being all natural, because a lot of the reasons that American cosmetics have weird stuff in it is because they stay on the shelf a long time and they know that women don't finish the products, so they're packing it with preservatives, essentially. So parabens and phthalates are forms of preservatives that in the EU are considered like endocrine disruptors, right? Like known carcinogens.
And so these basically screw with our hormonal systems and
they're not ideal.
Well,
and it's the sort of thing that makes sense if it has to have a long shelf life, and if no one's finishing their products, preservatives are probably good, but really the answer should be make smaller products people actually finish. And it goes to deep systemic issues that I don't think we really realized we would discover, mm-hmm. just trying to solve the problem of I'd like makeup in my purse that I can finish.
Well, Julie, I know you and I used to talk about this all the time. You go to the gym a lot, and so do you, Chelsea, and it's that thing of like, am I going to carry this 10-pound makeup bag to the gym right now also is...
And then you get really disappointed when you do carry your gym bag and all of your makeup, and then you don't go to the gym, and you're like, oh, I just lugged this around.
Why did I do this?
I'm a terrible person.
Not just like the issue of, you know, I can't finish this stuff. It's also like women are active on the move.
It's wildly inconvenient to have this big foundation bottle with
exactly.
you or something.
Yeah.
Well, and we actually did a study, and we were really blown away by the results. So we studied, we put out a questionnaire to 4,000 women. We did this with a company called Poshly. They're do consumer insights.
Huh.
And one of the questions that came back that just blew my mind was that 75% of women don't finish their makeup, not just before it expires, but ever.
Yeah.
And so if that many women, right, like if 3/4 of your customer base don't finish your product, what does that say about this industry?
Right.
And the industry's really consolidated, right? Like, they're huge, huge conglomerates. So 45% of the industry is controlled just by L'Oreal and Estee Lauder, and then 70% of the industry is controlled by like 10 conglomerates total. So it's one of those things where this industry consolidated really fast. They own all these brands, and they're operating with business practices that make sense for them, but are totally ludicrous for regular modern women who go to the gym, who freelance, who mm-hmm. have kids, who are trying
to take weekend trips,
right? trying to live the kind of life that they want, and instead we're saddled with this massive makeup bag. And I don't want to give up my makeup. I like my makeup. I want my makeup to be convenient, though.
Yeah,
totally. So you find these, you discover these problems, but how do you, you know, neither of you have created a beauty line from scratch before. How do you do that?
A lot of just one step at a time.
Yeah, we did this interview recently where we said, you know, ignorance is bliss, I guess.
Yeah.
We didn't realize how hard it would be until we started, and then
completely.
There was no turning back. I think, you know, Julie and I, we always joke that we're the complete opposite. Mm-hmm. We're like the yin to each other's yang. Whatever she knows, I don't, and vice versa. And so we use that to our benefit in the beginning. So she started building out the business model and looking at our financials and figuring out exactly what we could afford. Mm-hmm. And I started meeting with factories and figuring out formulations.
How do you decide what factory to work with? What are the credentials you look for in a makeup factory?
So there's a handful of factories, okay, right, in labs that specialize in makeup. So we went and we visited a lot of them, and we wanted to find a partner that also had great formulations, mm-hmm, and that could understand and translate our ideas of formulations, and then also a factory that can help us find the packaging needs that we were looking for, because clearly they're also in, mm-hmm, this weird, like, entrenched kind of model,
right,
where they were like, what do you mean you want something smaller? So finding someone that wasn't going to question us along the way.
Yeah, because packaging was really challenging, right?
Packaging is the hardest.
Well, yeah. And I think, you know, just to, like, really distill this down, so we say that stowaway is right-sized makeup, which is, mm-hmm, it's half of the size of traditional makeup so that you can actually finish it, and then also half of the price, because we think that makeup just has too much markup. Mm-hmm. And going to these factories and explaining, no, we don't want it bigger, mm-hmm, we understand that it costs just as much, and this is what was really surprising, it costs just as much to produce a small item as a large item, because you still have to tool all of the componentry parts, right? Huh. Like the actual fill is not the dominant cost structure.
It's the bottle and the lid and all of that.
Exactly. Well, and that means that these brands are essentially passing those costs on to you, right?
Right.
So, like, I did, to, again, quote a University of Chicago thing, like, tan staffel. There's no such thing as a free lunch. And every time you get a free product from these brands being like, look at this sample, buy up. The sample cost as much to produce, yeah, as the full size product, and then the full size and you never finish the full size product.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's such a bad consumer deal. And trying to go in and explain to these factories, no, like, we're optimizing for a better consumer experience. We're not optimizing for margins that we then pass on to Sephora and Nordstrom. Mm-hmm. Like, we care about the customer experience.
Yeah,
and it was a baffling experience. Actually, I was surprised.
We had a couple bad experiences, I think, with some of the factories we originally met with.
Yeah, a lot of, there's no way this will work. No one's ever done this before. I'm like, really?
Well, that's a good answer. Yeah, that's a perfect. So when you started thinking about formulations, how did you decide which products to roll out first?
I think it was kind of hard. Like, mm-hmm, we were thinking, okay, there's the classic woman problem. You have a closet full of clothes, right, nothing ever to wear, but a little black dress comes in handy if you have anywhere to go. So we backed up from there. We're like, what is the little black dress of beauty look like?
Mm-hmm.
And so we, you know, also with, you know, Julie.
Dummy over here.
Yeah, No. It was you, you know, you were digging into all of the, you know, Mintel and NPD reports and figuring out, you know, stat-wise what sells the best.
Right.
And then from my, you know, decade of experience, mm-hmm, in the beauty industry, just knowing, like, okay, so we're going to need something for complexion. We're going to need something color-wise for lips and cheeks and eyes. And then
how many colors did you want? How many shades did you launch with for each product?
So there's 6 products, okay, and 18 SKUs total. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, so four colors of BB cream, 4 colors of lipstick and blush, 2 color eyeliner.
So the BB cream and the, you know, the concealer, I can imagine how you go about picking shade. You know, you have to sort of make sure that you're covering as much of a range as skin tones as you can.
We cover about like 80% of the market. So again, from my knowledge of the, mm-hmm, beauty industry, like, mm-hmm, when you go to a MAC counter, for, mm-hmm, instance, there's so many shades that you have to choose from. But I know that there are 4 shades at that MAC counter that sells to 80% of their customers.
Okay.
So those are the shades that, you know, among all brands that sell to 80% of customers. So
you use that same math when it came to lipstick and blush and the things that are actual colors?
Yes and no. So colors are a lot more difficult.
That's why I'm so curious about.
Yeah. It was more just, you know, what's going to be the most popular? So everyone's going to, you know, if we have someone that's like the no makeup type of girl, right, like Julie, who's, you know, maybe she wants just like a really light pink, mm-hmm, or a nude, mm-hmm, or someone that wants a pop of color. So we backed into them by thinking, just instead of doing 5 different shades of red lipstick, because I like red lipstick, we decided let's do 1 really great nude. Let's do 1 really great pink. Let's do 1 berry. Let's do 1 red. And then making sure that the red, for instance, didn't have, you know, didn't pull too orange or didn't pull too blue. So it looked good on the most, you know.
Yeah, because there's a little bit of a paradox of choice issue that the cosmetics industry, I think, uses to manipulate women, right? Like, because there really are only a couple of shades that dominantly sell across all categories, mm-hmm, but because they're retailers and they need to fill up space and make it look like there's just all of these options, they tend to fill it out with things that don't really sell,
right,
and then they then use the people that are selling the product to you to make it feel like, oh, I could never have possibly made these decisions without a professional.
Right.
When it turns out, like, there are shades that are classic that flatter a lot of people and are really usable.
And the beauty industry is also constantly having to do newness, because if you can't ever get through a product, you're not going back
to refill.
Unless you lose it, you're not going back to replenish that product. They have to come out with all this newness for you to even go back.
Yeah. Well, and so this is why we think the brand is interesting beyond just like, yay, this will fit in your purse and you'll finish it. The idea that you should have a product that you can continually use, finish, and replenish is something that's never happened in the cosmetics industry before, which is a really baffling thing, right? You should buy something, finish it, and buy it again if you like it. Whereas right now, one of the reasons you'll go back 6 or 7 years later to try to repurchase a product and then be like, oh, we discontinued it, is because they had no idea that you liked the product because you couldn't finish it in time.
Fascinating.
There's also a lot of women that will use a product and then they don't replenish it by the time they get to the end because it expired and it started downgrading. It started smelling funny, or the texture was weird. It started breaking them out. They're like, oh, I used to love it, but it doesn't work for me anymore. But really, it was just because the product got old, the product expired, and it started, you know, causing breakouts.
Yeah. So how long ago did you launch Stowaway?
February
this year.
Yes, I think we're on month 10, which is really...
Months. Wow, you guys, you've done so much. I really want to know, is there anything that you went to market with, either packaging-wise or shade-wise, that you're like, why did we do that? That will not happen anymore. We have to change that, or
we
all our customers
so
hate it.
We got so lucky. I every single day, I'm like, wow. I don't know how we pulled that off, because there really haven't been that many major mistakes. And I think part of it is also just the type of personality that Chelsea and I have, where Chelsea looks at every detail and thinks things through. Like, let me tell you, like, there was a moment in which we were like considering 40 different variants of red, none of which I could distinguish. But like, it was really critical we got the right one, right? Yeah. And it worked. But then
I think Julie made fun of me every time a new red showed up. She was like, it looks the same. And I was like, trust me, it doesn't.
Yeah. Well, and it was really true, right? Like, at the end, we got the right one. But then having to have that moment where it was like, this is the end. Yeah. We are pulling this trigger. We are going forward, which is really scary in manufacturing.
So scary.
Right? Like, there, thousands of products are going on.
Well, because
on.
The minimums for makeup, right? You had to commit to a huge number.
Exactly. Yeah. Which is one reason that you don't see a lot of new beauty brands, right? It actually does require a lot of capital to outlay. It's not like cut and sew in fashion, where you can do, you know, a 5 or 10 product line and test the waters. It's very much like we are all in. So having one person being like, let's be very careful, let's get the details right, and then another person being like, we gotta go, let's get this on.
She definitely keeps me going forward. I will spend so much time perfecting.
I'll put something out into the world that is totally half-baked.
So what have you both learned about women's relationships with makeup over the last 10 months?
Oh, good question.
Yeah, that's a really good question. I no longer hate makeup, so I feel like that's a pretty big step.
Yeah, and I think what was the most exciting thing is when we launched, we kind of, even when Julie and I talked about it, we talked about it to our girlfriends, and everyone, that's great, that's brilliant. But of course they have to say that because they're our girlfriends, that's why they're our friends. And then when we launched, to see all of these women kind of resonating with this problem and realizing that, you know, the market doesn't serve what women want and their needs. So, you know, I think that was honestly the most exciting thing for me.
What you said about the discontinuing of shades just stunned me, because it's so many things have been discontinued that I love and that I know other people love. I will never forget freshman year of college.
Oh God, I knew exactly where we were going because I know this product. Go.
Bonnie Bell discontinued Shoutin' Sugar lip gloss.
Oh my Lord.
And which was like a pearlescent. You
brownish. It was very brown.
Yeah.
It was 2002. And I called the Bonnie Bell headquarters, the number listed on the packaging, and ordered like 17, whatever they had left, basically. The woman was lovely. And I still have it because at some point brown lipstick went out of style, probably actually several years before I ordered
the
stuff.
But how about pearlescent brown lipstick?
That was only like a year or so before I ordered all the back stuff.
I think that was the year I was into the browns as well.
But what I want to know is, what are the products that you guys are dying to recreate, discontinued or not, that you think is like, it's the Shoutin' Sugar of your world?
To be honest, we're really, you know, focused on the essentials.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of the products that you're saying,
You don't think that's an essential.
You don't think
that particular one is not an essential, but
Google it, guys.
There are also other, you know, lipsticks that I've used in the past that I totally love, but they were limited editions and they were fun kind of being limited editions, and they were limited edition for a reason because they weren't kind of classic
because they were blue or whatever.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I don't know. And even, you know, when we think about what we put out, there are certain products that we definitely love and our products were inspired by certain things. Mm-hmm. But then it's also, you know, you have that kind of, you know, you can pick and choose and create. It's like, I like this product, but I like the color of this one, but I like the matteness of this one, but I like, so we're able to make, you know, this hodgepodge perfect product for us that we know will work for everyone.
Is there a product you'd never do because you're like, nobody should ever be wearing blue lipstick or something like that?
Blue lipstick.
Yeah. Well, 'cause I think we're never going to be a brand that's all about
trend.
Right. Well, because I mean, one, other people do that really well, and that's fine, and
we
that's
might
fun.
Do trends in like limited edition, and hey, this is fun. Here's a limited edition,
like a seasonal kind of thing,
exactly.
Yeah.
But
like, seasonal for sure. But I think that because so much of what we do is trying to make women's lives easier, like this is a brand that fits into your life, that you will finish, that is a good value. That honestly, like, we consider it a luxury product because the one luxury you can't buy, no matter how wealthy you are, is time, and this really does save you time, especially mental energy, like. Decision fatigue is so
very real.
Very,
very real.
So I think
for sure.
Anytime like we think about products is always how much will this impact your routine and will it make your routine easier and better? So I think there are definitely products that we want. Like this weekend I totally had like a hilarious meltdown where I was like, wow, I've really learned how to tight line because we've had an eyeliner that I really love
for a
year.
Tight line?
Yeah. I figured
what
that
does
out.
That mean?
Excuse? Yeah. But I realized
that just means getting it tight to
like at your waterline.
Yeah. Right? That is what I want. Yeah.
Well, but then I realized that we don't yet have an eyeshadow. So I was like, oh God, I don't actually know how to do a smoky eye. Chelsea, please help me. So there are definitely things that are core products that women may want. Maybe not in a daily basis. Not everyone wears eyeshadow.
But special occasion. Yeah.
But there are totally products that I think that we will explore that'll just always be under the ethos of making life easier and simpler.
Yeah. And I think what's great about us being direct to consumer, which I don't think we've mentioned that yet, you can only get Stowaway on our website, is that we are able to talk directly to our customers. So we launched with the essentials and, you know, we have lots of other things up our sleeves. So
We have a bunch of friends, more than I would have guessed, who do not wear makeup at all. Mm-hmm. How do you suggest that someone who's in her, you know, late 20s, 30s, 40s, who doesn't wear makeup, get into it? Who's scared, like Julie?
Oh, I got this. Yeah. Oh, yes. I'm the kind of person that can walk into a Sephora and just burst into tears. Because
it is kind of terrifying.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and it's one of those things where I think we have a lot of ideas about power and women and gender and beauty that can feel really intimidating if you consider yourself a serious person. And it sounds really obnoxious. I'm a serious person. But like,
this is aligned with my vision of myself or something.
Yeah. And my, like, myself is the kind of person that has a lot of interests, but also wants to look pretty. Like, I enjoy the facets of makeup, but I always found it so incredibly challenging to take those first steps into makeup because there were thousands of variants in all of these colors. And even with Chelsea by my side, walking into Sephora is just such an overwhelming experience. And so trying to just say, pare back.
Yeah.
Pare back. Like, what truly are the essentials?
Right. Yeah.
And I think that's why we believe the line is a great start for women who may be like, I want to look polished. I got a big presentation, or I'm a new mom and I want to hold on to, you know, being a little bit more pulled together and saying, like, we have two complexion products, we have two eye products, and we have two color products, and that's it. Yep. Like, you can handle that.
So what does someone start with if they just want to do one product? Do you do mascara? Do you do a lipstick?
Mascara is a really easy thing for someone to start with, to be honest. I completely love the absolutely no makeup but a pop of color on the lips.
Yeah.
But again, you know, if she doesn't wear makeup, that could be a little scary.
So
it could be really scary.
Chelsea has like a signature makeup look that I personally, and I think a lot of people have long like
aspired to.
And we have coined it aggressively natural.
Yes, and it's going to launch on the site for you.
And it has really changed my mind about makeup and has really impacted how I do it. Because you do, Chelsea, like a strong blush, which
like
always looks amazing.
More blush than you would think that
exactly.
you would put on your face.
And then just kind of like a nudish.
But it looks so good.
It looks so good. And I don't.
It's like you do more than you think is right. And that's how you know it's right.
Exactly. And I don't do eyeshadow. I do, you know, I go aggressive on the blush and aggressive on the mascara because that's
an like, extra coat of mascara. Yeah. And an extra, like, you know, brush layer full of blush. Right.
And it just looks so fresh.
Maybe you should explain maybe it. Maybe you should. Yeah, you're like the dummy version.
Don't make me sound terrible. You guys are the ones that alerted me to this aggressively natural.
Because it just looks like a really wonderfully natural.
I do think it's a blush thing.
Yeah.
I do think it's a really nice. I mean, blush. If you skip the blush as a woman, don't, because it just makes you look so, you know, everyone
awake,
thinks
alive.
That, exactly. Everyone thinks that mascara is going to do that, but I really do think it's the blush. I don't know what it is. Like, honestly, I was thinking about this earlier when I was going through, you know, thinking about what you guys are going to ask me, and I figured
you knew this natural was going to come up. Natural was gonna
and the only thing I can really think of, and the thing that I used to tell clients all the time when I was a makeup artist, was treat your skin great. Yes. Because your skin is your canvas, right? Mm-hmm. Like, if you're an artist and you're painting on your face, your art is only going to look as good as the canvas underneath. So wash your face at night.
Well, that's the other thing you've also taught me is about exfoliating, which really does make such a big difference. At one point I asked Jessica, I was like, what other exfoliants would you recommend or something? And she was like, wait, are you exfoliating and cleansing with the same product? Might I suggest that you separate the two? And I was like, no, absolutely not.
You make
not.
Me
that's
sound
insane.
Like such a snob.
No, but
I don't think I said
just,
it like that.
No, it was over email, so I'm
intuiting tone.
Exactly.
I think we should wrap this up by having Chelsea give her like three skincare products or tricks that people should use to make sure that they've got a good canvas.
Oh gosh, that's hard. Moisturize. I mean, okay.
Yes,
so
that's your other thing.
Yes, so. Yeah. 100% exfoliate. Everyone, whenever they go and get a facial for the first time, and they're like, my skin looks so amazing. And I think it's because it's the first time that they've seen their skin exfoliated. Mm-hmm. So I would recommend exfoliating. If you have sensitive skin, there are also, you know, exfoliant products out there that will cater to that. And then there's also, so there's two different types of exfoliants. There's physical exfoliants, which are the actual
beads
you feel. And then there's chemical exfoliators. So you typically wear them at night. They're treatment products and they help kind of reduce lines and help cell turnover rate. And that works amazing too. So I use two of those products. You know, I'm always using a physical exfoliator. I'm always using a chemical exfoliator and I'm always moisturizing.
Both at the same time.
I mean, one I use in the shower. So
okay. So what?
And the other one's the other one's a cream.
Okay.
So which physical exfoliant are you using right now? Or what's your favorite one?
My all-time favorite one, and I've used them all, is Clinique's exfoliating scrub. That's not the 7-day scrub. I hate the 7-day scrub. The regular exfoliating scrub.
Okay, and then the chemical exfoliant.
Right now, I'm using Sunday Riley's Good Jeans.
Oh, mm-hmm.
But
I want that one.
Right now, the problem is I'm constantly in, like, you know,
testing
research.
Mode. Yeah.
And so ask me this in a month, and I'm probably using something different.
And how about moisturizer?
Right now, I'm using Paracone MD.
Dr. Paracone. My grandma used to.
I don't remember the actual name of it. There's so many different ones, but it's like skin brightening or something like that.
Okay. Love this.
But yeah, and I've gotten my husband hooked on all skincare. He's going to hate that I just said that.
No, this is we have
and
a lot
he,
to
when
say
he
about
gets
men's
really,
grooming.
Yeah, when he gets you know when he gets low on it, he gets concerned. He's like, my stuff is getting low.
My stuff. That's good. My stuff, yeah. Not my product. My stuff. This was super insightful and helpful. Thank you both for coming on.
Thanks
you
for having us.
Wonderful
guests.
This was
so fun.
You've been listening to Chelsea and Julie from Stowaway. They are releasing their Aggressively Natural.
That's
like
true.
Package. When is this happening?
So we'll be putting it up on the site next week.
Amazing.
And it will be titled Aggressively Natural. And
so
maybe
you will not miss it.
And it's all available at stowawaycosmetics.com. That's the only place you can get it. They are direct to consumer, which means that their stuff is affordable, which is really nice. And they also, much to my happiness, launched a subscription product last week, which is great because I always want
it's replenishment, so you can just have it, you know, set it your frequency and it'll just show up.
Yeah.
And then for any new customers out there, our customer service is pretty amazing.
That's
so
true.
If you are confused about certain colors, feel free to reach out.
Yeah, we even launched live chat, so you can hit the site and someone will respond
our live
immediately.
Chat is so great.
Zing.
Yeah.
Hey. All right, so this has been A Few Things with Claire and Erica. We are here every Wednesday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time. You should listen to us on Heritage Radio Network or subscribe on Stitcher or iTunes. And while you're at it, sign up for our newsletter,
ofakind.com. Bye.
That's the show.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.